Okay, so we're at round two. Round two with the idea of dating. And so we wanted to continue, and hopefully we'll get through all the ideas this week. We have four main points we're going to try to cover this week. Some of it will be kind of a little bit of a review. Remember, last week we were kind of establishing that the Bible has different guidelines and establishing some a biblical context for everything. We looked a lot at Genesis chapter 2 in regards to that. We also were saying that then there are some things that we need to start doing ourselves as far as looking for a mate, and that means biblically looking for looking in the Bible to find the right qualities to look for. Okay, so I'm going to just go ahead and get into it, and since we have the four points, it's a little more than last week that we're going to try to cover. So let me give you some, I have four main points. Well, first of all, we have the biblical principles of separation. We talked about that last week some, the biblical principles. So in your home, you need to start establishing these, and let's say you're an older person, then you need to go to the Bible and say, all right, so what are the biblical principles of separation? There's a couple of main things underneath that, and we talked about this last week. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible establishes gender differences, okay? Now, in the Fairhaven Times 2 weeks ago, and actually the one coming up this week, I've been specifically writing articles about dating. So if those of you that are in the dating world or you have your parents, I would recommend if you say, hey, I didn't get that one 2 weeks ago, then grab the one 2 weeks ago. And this week, I'm finishing that article with the idea of dating. In that, the 2 weeks ago, I talked specifically about the idea of gender, okay? You start establishing that at a very young age in your home. Okay, it's very important to establish it. That's why you have, even I saw today a news blurb because there's a singer. She was a teen pop star, and she kind of is operatic in her voice. But what was interesting is she's operatic in her voice, but she's been kind of outspoken about LGBT stuff. And I was like, man, that is just odd. I mean, here you are, little kid, you grew up in Pittsburgh. I looked up her background. She grew up in Pittsburgh. The girls were playing her to, backyard. Well, it just so happens that guess what? All right, she's either got a brother or sister that is not a brother or sister anymore. All right, so I don't know if it's Tom that's, whatever, Tomito, all right, or whatever. All right, Tom is Tomito. Or if it's whatever, either way. And so now this is what happens. What happens is when things become personal preferences take away our Bible principles. And that can't happen. You know what? I'm sorry that they did that, but it doesn't take away the Bible principle. And so we establish gender differences and we start that early. Okay, so there's biblical principles of separation. Then, and Ephesians chapter 5. So Genesis 2 gives us that gender difference. And Ephesians 5, the Bible establishes distinct roles. And you can find it in other areas of the Bible too. But these are things that we're establishing. So a man has certain role in the home, and a woman has a certain role in the home. Where are we going to? We're going to the Bible. And then as a young man or as a young woman, I'm trying to learn what are those roles. And I don't say, well, that's not fair. You know what? That's not your choice. If you believe God made you individually and uniquely, then God made you. Right? And each one, according to David, each person is fearfully and wonderfully made. So God made me the way I am. There's nobody else like me and there's nobody else like you. Somebody may say you act like somebody, but believe it or not, there's nobody. There still is no cloning. Right? And there's a lot of people happy about that in my world. Okay? But we establish distinct roles and we go to the Bible. I don't go to some magazine to find out. I go to the Bible. So we establish gender differences, we establish distinct roles, and then I also, as far as principles of separation, I establish then proper guidelines for guy and girl relationships. Okay, so all of that is under the first point, the biblical principles of separation. Okay, and we kind of talked about a lot of that last week. So secondly then, what are some biblical principles for dating? Okay, what are some biblical principles? And actually, my daughter and I were talking about it this afternoon for a while. Because this is what you have to understand. Some things when you get into dating, and this is going to be the last point. Okay, so understand I got point two, point three, and then I have point four. And at point four, it'll all hopefully start making sense. Some of the things with dating are in your family. So there's a lot of things that somebody's going to say, like we were talking about the dating different partner. You know, if you have lots of different dates, you're going to end up a pattern of divorce. And I said, you know, the problem is there's no Bible. All right, I got Bible students here, college students. Can you name me a verse? All right, I know my Bible pretty good. I cannot name you one verse. Just, okay. I'm trying to think of one. All right, I am. And I'm pretty good on my feet, but I can't think of anything. I'm like, okay. All right, trying to grab it. All right, so you got to be careful of just, all right, it may not be a great idea. Like Jennifer and I were talking about it, and I said, all right, now, if Jennifer, we get down the road, and every 3 months you're engaged, going to get married, and then boom. All right, and so, all right, after 15 of those, I'm like, you know what, Jennifer? I'm thinking we're developing a bad pattern here. Okay? But really, Dad, Mom, and Jennifer, we're going to be very involved in this, talking about it. We're going to have peace about it. We're going to know about it, and I'm not going to say that, Jennifer, the first person you get to know, that's it. You know what? Sorry, you picked loser, man. That's it. Oh, no. All right, that's why some people are so scared. They're skittish. And we'll talk about some guidelines later. But biblical principles for dating. And so I'm saying some of that because right at the outset, you're going to be scared when I say this. Biblically, the only purpose that I can see for young men and young ladies getting to know each other, I can only see one purpose in the Bible. Can you think of it? Marriage. I can't see any other. I know this. There is nothing. Biblically, missionary dating is wrong. You know what I mean by missionary dating? Right? Be not unequally yoked. Missionary dating is, you know what, I'm going to reach out to some of these folks and I'm going to be a soul winner. And so, hey, you know, and you get a date to win them to the Lord. No. All right, we don't do that. I'm not going to, so I've termed it missionary dating. All right, no, we don't missionary date. Okay? Also, and I was talking to my daughter about this, the other thing that happens a lot of times is a guy and girl will develop a relationship because the one is what I call needy. And it's almost like you're counseling that one. And then all of a sudden there's a relationship because the one is needy. Okay? And that's what I was talking about. I don't get into that. All right? I don't want her counseling some guy. All right, and then all of a sudden, he's like, hey, you know what? You've helped me. And I'm like, yeah, so go over there, all right? Way over there and sit way over there, okay? Because there is going to be a relationship when you start sharing some of that type of stuff. There's going to be a relationship. So I don't really like the peer counseling thing, all right? If that's your way of dating, I would recommend not doing that. And if you're a lady and you kind of liked it, you're like, you know what, if I kind of seem needy, then this guy will come and he'll be like, oh, well, biblically, can we sit down and have some devotions? I'm like, oh, no. All right. no, wait a minute. You know, let's just be careful there. Okay? So right away, when I say the biblical principles of dating, the only thing I can see in the Bible is two young people, when they're coming together, the purpose is marriage. It's not just so that I can have a boyfriend and have a number of boyfriends. So I understand where some of the people are saying, hey, multiple boyfriends is bad. I understand what they're saying because I'm telling you that, yes, I understand that. But what you have to be careful of is the one and done thing. I'm like, that's scary. All right? And what they're talking about dating is a lot different than sitting and having an ice cream. Okay? So what Jennifer and I were talking about is some of them even use different terms. Like people use courting. I know she's getting all, you know, embarrassed. You're like, well, I was talking to her. Is it okay to tell you I talk with my daughter? I know some of you, you're like, that's weird. All right, now we don't have time to get into that. All right, we don't have time to get into relationships there. All right. But what I was telling her is that courting, all right, if you look up courting, it's scary. Look it up. It's medieval. All right, did you know that courting, actually some of them, it was knights? And the knight could court one of like the king's mistresses or something like that, and that was called courting. So it was legal adultery. I'm like, ooh, you know what? Go court. You go courting. Yeah, you do that. All right, but you know what? You're not doing that with my daughter. All right? No. And so you got to be careful just coming up with some words. But what some of them have said is, all right, you have kind of an acquaintance time where you're getting to know people. I agree with that. Then they say, then there's a courting time, and that's a little more serious. All right, I agree with that. And then there's engagement. All right, so I understand that, but everybody kind of wants a recipe. And this is what I was doing. Over the last couple of months, I've been reading, thinking about it as far as the Bible, reading different things. This is what's interesting to me. Tell me two people in the Bible that got married the same. Okay? For instance, I told the deacons last week, I can't use Adam and Eve really as a way to date. Because guess what? There was only one woman. All right? That's not really similar to your situation. And God made her out of him. All right? It's not really, well, in Genesis, we have an example. No, you don't. Okay, or, all right, hey, well, let's do the Ruth and Boaz thing. All right, so, ladies, what I'm telling you to do is lay down at their feet. All right, oh, wait a minute. Oh, the Esther. Okay, so find a king. All right, hopefully he holds out a scepter. All right, and you might just be, or you gotta enroll in the Miss America pageant. All right, it's not really the same thing. You know what I mean? Here's all these illustrations that were in the Bible, and you're like, okay, that's not the same. I don't really want my daughter doing that. Nope. Okay, I don't want her doing that. There's not really a lot of illustration in the Bible about courting, dating, all right? And in fact, some of the people we revere, like Christ, yeah, that doesn't work. Paul, King David, oh no. Solomon, oh no. Okay, so we have to understand then, we're going to the Bible, we're looking at it, so we've got to say, all right, God, what do you want us to do? Well, there's biblical principle. We know that God desires young men and young lady to get together. Why? Well, we know scripture that says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So it says that Genesis, we see Adam and Eve, and God brought them together. So we can see principles of God bringing a man and a woman together. So that's where I give you that concept. And the concept is, what I see biblically is a young man and a young woman getting acquainted. The ultimate goal is marriage. I don't see anything else. I mean, you can say, well, we got to just, they have boyfriends, plural. Be careful, okay? Be careful of missionary dating, all right, when I call. Be careful of the counseling thing, okay? So some biblical principles for dating is ultimately a young man and young woman, it's for marriage. Then, because of that, biblical principle is don't do it too early. Why? What's the ultimate goal? So at 12 years old, then, hey, at 16, you better be saving them, better be expecting them to go somewhere, because they're not going to come here, just so you know that, all right? I'm not going to marry two 16-year-olds. So think about that. That's why we don't really encourage dating in the high school. Why? Well, because what's the ultimate goal? Marriage. Now, is it saying, all right, this is the other thing you need to look at. Look at history and look at the Bible. Okay, so what age? Everybody wants it. What age? I can't tell you. As I know people that have been married at 16, actually. They're very mature. I know people that are married at 40, and they're not. Okay? But I know people that are married at 40. I know people that are married at 18. I know people married at 22, at 24, at 25, at 20. All kinds of different ages. Okay? Oh, there's a set age. There isn't. Why? Because what are we? Individuals. So, God's will for me is God's will for you? It is not. Okay? So, in the biblical principles of dating, we know the ultimate goal is marriage. The other thing we know is be careful of too early. It's not saying that you can't develop relationship as far as in the home, what should you be developing? They should know how to treat somebody of the opposite gender. That's your job. You're helping them to understand and relate. I talk about that. Actually, this week I was reviewing it because it's in that paper this week. And I was reviewing that in the home. Guess what, young men? And it's going to be frustrating. I can tell you this because I have young men in my home. You're going to teach about being a gentleman and teach on being a gentleman, and they aren't going to get it. I know that can be frustrating, but it'll come someday, maybe at 50, maybe at 55, maybe at 60, maybe in heaven, all right, and they will finally get that. But what we have to do is we have to make sure that in our home, our ladies, there's a whole section on beauty, all right, not deep. Okay, but if you look in Peter, a lot of times in dealing with dress standards, they use that passage about modesty, that a woman should be modest. If you look that up, that's not necessarily talking about slacks on women. What it's talking about is a woman that dresses to attract men's eyes. That's the context. Okay. Now, it's not saying that a woman should be dog ugly, but what it's saying is there should be a natural beauty for a woman. And in the home, you're teaching your young ladies that beauty is a feminine thing. So my boys, I don't want them beautiful. They've never heard me say that unless I'm making fun of them. I'm not expecting them to be, oh, they're so beautiful. Uh-uh. Because beauty is a woman's trait. You overemphasize that, then guess what's in the list of sins of uncleanness in Corinthians? Do you know what it is? Effeminate. What happens? In our society, what have we have taken beauty and we said, well, it's both. No, that's mixing the genders. All right? It's not distinction. And it should be that a woman is beautiful. And there's nothing wrong with a man understanding that. Now, he has to then be a biblical man, and he understands self-control, he understands other things, but there's nothing wrong with seeing a young lady and say, wow, she looks really pretty. You're sick. No, you're not. Women are supposed to be pretty. In fact, I read an article this morning. So a lady that is quitting the WNBA. You know why she's quitting the WNBA? Because she says she's tired of being made fun of because she's married and she has kids. She said, they want me to be a man. She says, I'm a woman, and I don't mind that I'm a woman. I should be proud of it. And that's what it should be. In our churches, we try to establish that. In your home, you establish that. Okay? So, in the biblical principles for dating, I think we understand that young man and young woman, what's the purpose? It's getting married. We're not doing it too early then. Then another biblical principle that is revealed in Scripture is that it's okay, again, in God's timing, it's okay, and there's going to be a desire for companionship. Right? I think sometimes why do you want to be with a guy? Well, because companionship. Why do you want to be with that girl? Companionship. And that is a biblical thing. Remember what God said in Genesis? We can go to Genesis 2 and that can be established. What did Genesis 2 say? Adam is out there and all of a sudden it seems to indicate, what did he figure out? I'm lonely. And God says, wait a minute, it's not good that man's alone. What is that? In us is a need, a fulfillment of companionship, and that's okay. That's okay. I think it's good for our young people to know that. All right, that yearning for companionship, but it's got to be in God's timing and in God's will. Okay, so that yearning for companionship, I think, is important. All right, so we have biblical principles of separation, biblical principles of dating, then we have biblical preparations. We talked about this some, but I want to give you six things, and then we'll give you some guidelines. All right, so I got about 1 minute each here. All right, so we're trying to be done on time. All right, so what are some biblical preparations we can do? All right, so myself, last week we were talking some about looking at the other person. What are you doing now? Biblical preparations. You need to have a growing relationship with Christ. You must have a growing relationship with Christ. Growing relationship with Christ. The young person who has not yielded their life to Christ, they're going to have problems. Why? Because they're going to be looking for non-biblical solutions to the companionship then. Right? They're going to be looking at the wrong areas. So I need a growing relationship with Christ. Number two, I need moral purity. Now, there's a great debate on this, and I thought I'd just touch on it because I think it is important. But in the area of moral purity, it could be that two people come together later in life and there were some indiscretions. There is debate about that all off the charts. But I think that at some point, if, and normally it's going to be an older man, an older woman that had, maybe they get saved later in life and they had some wrong discretions, all right, morally. At some point, if it's heading to marriage, I think they need to sit down and talk about it. Some people disagree with that, but I don't. All right, I don't, or I do. Some people disagree. All right, but I say sit down and talk about it. Okay, why? Because there is nothing more open than a marriage. And if you can't be open about someone, I'm not saying going through all kinds of gory detail, but a husband and wife need to understand what has gone on in their past. Or it may come up sometime and haunt them. You need to make sure of that. So But before that, hopefully, there's moral purity. Moral purity. So I can be morally pure. Okay? The Bible says that in Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? That seems to indicate moral purity. For a price is far above rubies, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Okay? So there's a, that intimacy is supposed to be saved for marriage, and so we're trying to do that. So what are some biblical preparations I can do as I'm preparing myself as a young man, a young woman? I'm developing my relationship with Christ. I'm being morally pure, and I'm putting things in my life to keep me that way and to strengthen me that way. This is what some people, there's a misconception. Some people think that I'm having a problem with purity. If I get married, this will resolve it. No, it won't. If you have a problem with purity and you think marriage is going to solve it, what I can tell you is when you get married, within a couple years, you're going to have a problem with purity. Why? Because it's a biblical principle of the flesh. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Learn self-control. If you will not take care of that and that area of moral purity, then getting married is not going to solve that. You're going to maybe extend the time, but you're going to have problems again. So moral purity. Thirdly, submission to authority. Submission to authority. We need to make sure. Now, it could be that there's a different authority in your life. It could be that you're, if you're older, authority has transferred. It could be that as far as dad and mom, it's a different situation. It can be unsafe situations. It's not saying, though, that you shouldn't. It's not saying you should dishonor your parents, though. This is what is amazing to me. I've had situations, I personally have dealt with situations, and the parents were not very for it, but yet we believed it was God's will, and we honored the parents. And guess what happened? God changed the parents' minds. You honor parents. You don't have to dishonor them. You pray about it. You do what God wants. And guess what? You can trust God, because God's way works. His way works. Trust Him. All right, so moral purity, growing a relationship with Christ, submission to authority. Then number four, get a biblical concept of love. Daily, we are bombarded with a distorted view of love. Songs, I mean, even old songs. I mean, I can go back to, people are like, oh man, the 50s, they were so nice. All right. You know what? Songs in the 50s weren't really good either. All right, songs. You can go back to the 20s. Guess what they called the 20s in America? The Roaring 20s. And you can read about some of that. It wasn't that good. Okay? So there's a distorted view of love, especially in America. But that's a world. It's a world thing. There was a distorted view. Just so you know, there was a distorted view of love when Paul was alive. That's why he wrote 1 Corinthians 13. You know what I mean? He wrote 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because we need to understand what biblical love was. So get a Christian concept of what love is. We need to be, remember that love is not just feelings. If you look in the Bible, you will get a whole bigger perspective of love, and you will understand that it's basically an action that you have to do. And look at the biblical accounts and see what some of the unfortunate results of a wrong type of love. What's a great example for us of a wrong type of love? Samson. An infatuation. And it's also dishonoring his parents. Remember, he didn't ask for his parents' advice. What did he say? It's actually in Judges 14. I was looking at it when I've been studying this. He told his dad, go down and get that woman for me. Read it. In Judges 14, you'll see. That doesn't seem like a real like honor thing. It's like, hey, Dad, you know what? I like her. Go get her. Bring her here. All right? Well, and then what happened with that whole situation? It didn't turn out good. All right? So understand a biblical love is associated always with sacrificial commitment. Always. And right from the top, what do we see? For God so loved the world, he gave. Right from the top, you see sacrificial love is giving, giving, giving. That's why when I'm dealing with a young couple that is coming together and they want to get married, I have books that I want them to read. I have studies that I want them to do. Then afterwards, I tell them, there's going to be friction. You know why? Because the man wants his way, the woman wants her way, and until both of them say it's the other person's way, there's not going to be true happiness. There's not going to be true happiness. Why? Because Ephesians 5:22 says submitting one to another, submitting yourselves one to another. That's what creates a good marriage, is submission to each other. Okay? So, biblical love. Number five, develop biblical values. Develop biblical values. All right, and we talked about some of those already last week as far as a list that you're making for looking for others. And then the sixth thing is you must have a sense of responsibility. All right, if a young man or a young woman, all right, this is what I can tell you. If you can't cook as a young lady, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you, don't get married. You can't cook. Sorry. Get a sense of responsibility. Say, like, well, what do you live in? No, I'm just saying, remember the roles. Why? We're going to the Bible. We're going to the Bible to get something. I'm not saying that, the woman has to be slaving over a hot stove. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is get a sense of responsibility. You have tons of debt. That doesn't make any sense. You have tons of debt. Oh, so let's get married and now we have double debt. That doesn't make any sense. Sense of responsibility. Okay, we have to have that. So then the last thing that I have. Okay, so we had biblical principles of separation. We had biblical principles of dating. Biblical preparations for dating. Then the last one is just three helpful guidelines. Three helpful guidelines. One, parents. Parents, as much as... I understand there's some people that are outside of this realm, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But the majority of people here are inside this room, realm. Parental involvement is crucial. Crucial. So I go back to it. So when should your young person date? Mom and dad, get on your knees. Pray. And talk to your young people about it. We pray about it. We talk about it. When should it be? I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't have a set answer for you. Why? Because look in the Bible and look at life, and it's people from 18 years old to 50. All right, I'll tell you that. Actually, there was an 82-year-old that just talked to me about a month ago, and he got married. All right, so let's just put 18 to 82. Okay? So you got 64 years. That's what I'll give you the span. You got 64 years in there to get married. Like, oh, can't you be more specific? Wait, do you want God to lead you? Then find out what God wants. And parental involvement. And guess what you'll see? Parental involvement will develop also different guidelines sometimes. Why? Because you'll notice something with your daughter. You'll notice something with your son. And you'll say, hey, you know what? You need just to back off for a little bit. That's what you do. Why? Because parental involvement. And part of that is, what does Proverbs say? Son, give me thine heart. So, as a dad, okay, guess what I should have? I should have the heart of my child and my children, my sons and daughters, and I'm going before God saying, hey, God, help me out here. And guess what God will do? He's not going to He's not going to let you, like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to kind of be mysterious. No, he's not that way. He'll help you. He'll guide you. So there's got to be strong parental involvement. And then I said, okay, so what about, you know, I don't really have parental involvement. So God's given you authority. So get some authority that help you out then with that. Get some authority that will help you out and give you some good counsel. Then the second thing, I put them all with the letter P. So we got parents, we have purity, and we already talked about that some. But purity, helpful guidelines, what do I mean by that? Okay, we're being very careful at this age. I'm being very careful. So what does that mean? That's the third word, pacing. You got a decent amount of time to get married. And not everybody, I understand that. But you have a decent amount of time. If you're a young person, I always joke, you got plenty of time to be in bondage. Okay? So what should we do? We pace it and we ask for God's wisdom and his guidance in this regard. And we talked about this last week. If I'm on God's pathway, do I believe that God will lead my steps? Then he will lead somebody into my path. But I'm surrendered to God. I was reading the story of Jim Elliot. You know, Jim Elliot and Elizabeth Elliot were married. What's amazing is Jim Elliot knew that he was called to the Aka Indians. And he loved Elizabeth. And they were dating and going to get married. And he wrote her and said, "We may get married." As he said, tons of people told him, if you're going to go down to the Aka Indians, you probably shouldn't marry Elizabeth. Because there's a good chance you're probably going to die. Now, they prayed about it. They ended up getting married. And guess what happened? He was martyred. Now, it was in God's will. Right? They prayed about it. It was in God's will. But he was willing. He wrote her. He was willing to set it aside and pace himself. Why? Because some people said, hey, maybe just wait. Just think about it. There's something wrong with a young person that has to rush it. You're only heading for trouble. If you can't say, wait a minute, you know what? Why don't we pray about this? If you can't pray about it, and all of a sudden the young man or young woman is saying, no, we got to get married right now. Flag. Bing, 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 bing. All right. You know what? Walk away very slowly. All right. Throw a donut. All right. Throw a donut out there, Twinkie. All right. They'll go running. All right. And take off the other way. All right. Why? Because that's not a good sign. It's rushing. If we're not willing to wait for God, that's never good. Okay? So, helpful guidelines, parental involvement, purity. We're always thinking of purity. So, in our situation, what does that mean? Purity means this. Okay? We're setting up some guidelines for how a young man and young woman are together. I don't think they should be alone together for a while. You'd say, well, why? Because they're just getting, that's that acquaintance time, remember? And so in the acquaintance time, they're just getting to know. And in my situation, as far as explaining it to people, I don't think in that acquaintance time, I don't see, okay, there may be a number of different acquaintances that they're getting to know. Okay? I don't think that's wrong. They're getting to know a bunch of different people. Okay? Going on a college activity, I'm sorry. The only thing I know to call it is a date, but that's not really a date. Okay, just so you know. Alright? You're going together to a Cubs game, bouncing on a bus. Alright? It's not really a date. You're going with a, and we even chaperone. So even an off-campus, we got off-campus. Well, you know, that's, we were joking about it. I was like, oh, I'm going to change the name. Off, we're going to call it off-campus acquaintances. Off-campus friendship time. Okay? Well, it's just, it's not the same. All right? It's not the same. So we're doing that acquaintance idea. Getting to know people. And you're going to get to know a bunch of different people. Why? Because then God can move in your heart. And guess what? You're very connected to who? Your parents. Because your parents have your heart. They can see you directed. They're very connected. They're giving you wisdom. You're praying about it. You're all praying about it. And because of that, then guess what happens? You can trust God. God will help you then. Okay? It's a good thing. We're done because my voice is gone officially.